30 a.m. on Ave Maria Radio.
This is full-time Catholic radio for Southeast Michigan, 990 WDEO, Ypsilanti, Detroit, or on the internet at WDEO.net.
Hudson, welcome to Church and Culture. This show is devoted to exploring the interaction between our faith and our culture. Each week, I will talk with expert guests on topics ranging from literature, art, and music to politics, liturgy, spirituality, and education. Thank you for joining us. Today I'd like to continue talking about and listening to some of my favorite sacred songs and choruses that I shared with you a few weeks ago. Actually, a number of the pieces that I had put in the queue with my engineer, Steve Clark, we weren't able to get to simply because there was so much great music to listen to. And if you heard that show, I hope you enjoyed it. I certainly love doing it. And I'm going to love sharing these pieces of music with you today. I mean, these are pieces that I consider both very beautiful in themselves and very meaningful to me. And the one that I'm going to begin with is one of the most meaningful pieces of music that I've ever heard, and has touched me continuously since I ever first discovered it about 30 years ago. And it's by an English composer named Gerald Finzi. Gerald Finzi was of the generation of Ralph Vaughan Williams, and in England they call him Rafe, of Herbert Howells, of Arnold Bax, and of John Ireland, and of Benjamin Britten, who came a little later, but he was a composer with a difference. He was Jewish, although he was an agnostic. But like Vaughan Williams, who was not Jewish but also an agnostic, wrote sacred music and wrote music for the church, set poetry with very explicit religious and spiritual themes. And this particular poem that he set, it's very famous. It's one of the two sonnets of John Milton. As you probably know, John Milton went blind in the prime of his life in 1652, and he wrote this sonnet, which begins with the famous line, "When I consider how my life is spent." And in this particular sonnet, he is both lamenting the loss of his sight, but also pledging that he knows that in God's grace that blindness will not deter him from doing what he would do, but also what he would not. And I'm going to read it to you briefly before we listen to what I consider one of the most perfect marrying of words to music that I know. Milton wrote, "When I consider how my life is spent, ere half my days in this dark world and wide, and that one talent, which is death to hide, lodged with me useless, though my soul more bent to serve therewith my Maker, and present my true account, lest he returning chide, doth God exact day labor, light denied? I fondly ask, but patience to prevent that murmur soon replies, God doth not need either man's work or his own gifts. Who best bears his mild yoke, they serve him best. His state is kingly, thousands at his bidding feast, and post o'er land and ocean without rest. they also serve who only stand and wait. Gerald Finzi finished this sonnet in 1928, early in his career. We're going to hear it performed by Ian Partridge, who just absolutely blows it out of the park. It begins in a plaintive mode. It moves to an ecstatic moment that is unforgettable, and then comes back to rest with this last line, "They also serve who only stand and wait." So let's listen to Ian Partridge sing Gerald Finzi's setting of John Milton's sonnet, "When I Consider How My Light Is Spent." just beautiful. Gerald Finzi's setting of John Milton's sonnet, "When I Consider How My Light Is Spent." And if you like that recording, it's available at the Loretta label, Royal Philharmonic, conducted by Vernon Hadley, sung by Ian Partridge, sung perfectly. They also serve who only stand and wait. If you're like me, there have been times in your life when circumstances didn't allow you to engage things, to use your talents the way you hope to make your gifts useful to others. And it was it's been frustrating at times, but then I would listen to this Finzi setting of the Milton sonnet, "They Also Serve Who Only Stand and Wait," the Martha theme of the gospel, and I was lifted up. Again, it's available on Loretta recording, conducted by Vernon Hadley, sung by Ian Partridge, Gerald Finzi. A lot of great Gerald Finzi music that I'd love to play for you sometime. We move from Finzi to a friend of his, the English composer Herbert Howells. Howells was an Anglican who specialized in church liturgical music and organ music, but he also wrote some beautiful chamber music, especially for violin, several piano concerti, orchestral works, songs, and even wrote a set of pieces for the virginal, for the harpsichord. But there's a special story about Howells that not a lot of people know, and that is this, that he lost a son, his only child, to polio, son Michael, when he was 8. And Herbert Howells never really got over it. He suffered with grief for the rest of his life. But he took that grief and he started to write a piece in the mid-30s. It was a piece setting such a text from the Bible as the 23rd song, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And then after writing, he put it away. And only a very few close friends of his knew that he had written it. It wasn't really titled, but eventually it would become known as the Hymnus Paradisi. The Hymnus Paradisi is one of the great masterpieces of sacred music in the 20th century. And some years later, in 1950, his friends, including Finzi and his best friend, Herman Simonsen, suggested he take that piece out of a drawer and let it be performed, which he did. He had thought that it was so personal, such a personal expression of grief over the loss of his son Michael, they didn't really want it heard. But he allowed it to be performed in 1950, and it was a huge success. Now, sadly, the Hymnus Paradisi is not a piece that received many recordings at all until just the last few years. I remember when I first heard it in its only recording about 25 years ago, Sir David Wilcox, who recently passed away, had recorded it. And I said to my friends, I said, why isn't this piece just known by everybody? So I want to play for you a section of it where he specifically sets the 23rd Psalm. And I believe that this is among the best settings of a scripture psalm that I've ever heard. And it certainly expresses the kind of grief and the kind of search for peace, search for rest in the midst of his suffering that any person, any one of us would feel losing a child or any loved one. So this particular recording is available. I'll give you the details of it once you've heard this particular movement Psalm 23.
Thank you.
You've been listening to the second movement of Herbert Howell's Hymnus Paradisi, a movement that contains a gorgeous setting of the 23rd Psalm, beautifully performed by soprano Claire Rutter and tenor James Gilchrist, conducted by David Hill, conducting the Bournemouth Symphony Orchestra and Chorus. Now, that particular recording is available on Naxos, but I'm pleased to report that all the recordings of the Hymnus Paradisi, I believe there's four, are all good. This is one of the best, but if you can find the old recording by David Wilcox or the recording with the Corydon sisters, the Corydon singers on Hyperion, conducted by Matthew Best, that's a good one too. And I also like to correct myself. I forgot to mention that Herbert Howells did have another child, a daughter named Ursula, and she survived. But Michael died at the age of six, and the Hymnus Paradisi was the result of that grief. Now I'm moving to a piece of music I know you know, the Samuel Barber Adagio for strings. It's almost omnipresent. It was heard in the film The Elephant Man, perhaps most famously at the end of the Oliver Stone film The Platoon. It was John F. Kennedy's favorite piece of music. It was played at the funeral of Albert Einstein, Princess Grace of Monaco, JFK, Franklin D. Roosevelt. But there's a story behind Samuel Barber's Adagio for Strings. It was originally part of his only string quartet. It was the slow movement of his string quartet, which was composed in 1936, and it was Maestro Arturo Toscanini who asked him to orchestrate that string quartet movement, make it into an orchestral piece for him to play on the radio with his famous NBC orchestra. And in 1938, the Adagio for String in his orchestrated version had its premiere. It was a huge hit, and it really made Samuel Barber's career in many ways. But on the other hand, it's like anything that's so very, very popular. It sort of became the piece of music he could never get away from. In fact, an entire book has been written about the Adagio for Strings entitled The Saddest Music Ever Written, The Story of Samuel Barber's Adagio for Strings by Thomas Larson. If you're interested in not just the Adagio for Strings and why it's so powerful, but in the music and life of Samuel Barber, I recommend reading it. But it was in 1967 that he set the gorgeous melody of the Adagio for Strings to choral words, to the Latin words of the Agnus Dei for the liturgy. And that particular setting of the Adagio for Strings has also become very, very famous. In fact, some people who know the Agnus Dei setting, the choral setting of the Samuel Barber Adagio for Strings, aren't aware that there was originally an orchestral version, and before that, a string quartet version. So what I'd like to do is to play for you the choral setting of Samuel Barber's slow movement of his string quartet, his orchestrated version, which premiered in 1938 with Arturo Toscanini on the radio, which was set in 1967, has become very famous. This here is the Agnus Dei by Samuel Barber. Thank you. Listening to Samuel Barber's great On You Stay, and I'll tell you who's been singing just after this break.
Light of the East, weekends on Ave Maria Radio.
I'm Father Thomas Loya. This week on Ave Maria, the health of a church is measured by its monasticism. In the Eparchy of Parma, in the eastern lung of the church, a particularly healthy sign are the Sisters at Christ the Bridegroom Monastery.
Saturday evenings at 8:30 and Sunday mornings at 9 on 990 WDEO, Ave Maria Radio.
This is Father Frank Pavone of Priest for Life.
During his visit to the United States, Pope Francis addressed the United Nations and said that, quote, "The pillars of integral human development have a common foundation, which is the right to life, and more generally, what we could call the right to existence of human nature itself," end quote. This reflects what previous popes have emphasized, namely, that the right to life is the foundation and condition of all other rights. The U.S. bishops have made the same point, comparing the right to life to the foundation of a house, on which all the other parts of the house of human rights and dignity are built. The message of the Pope is crucial because pro-abortion forces try to use the United Nations to spread abortion worldwide. Hopefully, many will heed what Pope Francis said.
This is Father Frank Pavone on Ave Maria Radio.
You remember the day you first laid eyes on her. They handed you the keys and you drove back home for everyone to admire. And although the memories have been made, it's time to pass the torch to someone else. Consider donating your vehicle to Ave Maria Radio. Even if it's not running, we'll take care of everything from pickup to your tax receipt. Just call 866-628-CARS to show you just how easy it is to donate. That's 866-628-CARS. And mention Ave Maria Radio.
At the end of the last segment, we were listening to Samuel Barber's beautiful On You Stay. I want you to know that it was being performed by the group Conspirare, and it's available on a recording conducted by Craig Hella Johnson on a disc, Harmonia Mundi. We're going to move on now to just a wonderful piece of music, the first symphony, the C Symphony of Ralph Vaughan Williams. It was 1910 when it was first performed. It was amazing. It was 70 minutes long. It was for a big orchestra, chorus, and soloists. And it was to the words of the American poet Walt Whitman, his Leaves of Grass. And we're going to listen to two of the interior sections in the so-called explorers section of the piece, where Rayfon Williams sets words that go like this: O soul, thou pleasest me, O thou transcendent, bathe me, O God, in thee, mounting to thee. This is definitely spiritual music of a very high order, from a young English composer who was just about to break onto the British music scene in a big way. So let's listen to Sea Symphony by Rayfon Williams, his first symphony from 1910.
Oh,
We've been listening to the first symphony of Ray Vaughan Williams, the C Symphony from 1910, performed by Sir Adrian Bolt, who is a friend of the composer, sung by Sheila Armstrong and John Carroll Case with the London Philharmonic. That recording's available. And it's interesting to note that in 1910, Gustav Holst had not yet written The Planets, which was coming 5 years later, and in this particular piece certainly looks forward to that piece by Gustav Holst. Just like Samuel Barber's Adagio for Strings, the Agnus Dei that we heard earlier, you're probably familiar with this piece of music written by the great film composer Ennio Morricone. It's from the 1986 film The Mission. The Mission is a film about the Jesuit missionaries in South America. It starred Robert De Niro and Jeremy Irons. It was a very popular film. And of the many beautiful soundtracks written by Ennio Morricone, this is certainly one of the most beautiful. And I'm going to play for you a piece, a four-minute piece from that soundtrack entitled On Earth as It Is in Heaven. It builds to a beautiful choral moment at the beginning of the piece and then begins to combine both the Western liturgical sound with the sound of the South American native music. It's done beautifully, and this is the performance from the original soundtrack conducted by Ennio Morricone, On Earth as It Is in Heaven, from the soundtrack of The Mission. On Earth as It Is in Heaven, from the original soundtrack by Ennio Morricone to the 1986 film The Mission. I want to remind all of you listening that we began today listening to Gerald Finzi's great setting of John Milton's sonnet, When I Consider How My Light Is Spent. And from there we went to Herbert Howell's Hymnus Paradisi, to the setting of Psalm 23, beautifully, beautifully set. And then we listened to two segments from the first symphony, the C Symphony of Ray Vaughan Williams, to words by the American poet Walt Whitman, and we ended with the Italian composer Ennio Morricone, who's written so many beautiful film scores. I hope you've enjoyed this second segment of my favorite sacred songs and choruses. And if you'll stick around for the next hour after this short break, I'm bringing you a very interesting guest to talk with.
Hi, this is Father John Ricardo, inviting you to join me as we explore some of the deepest questions that arise in our hearts, questions that shape the way we think, the way we speak, and the way we live. For all of these questions, Christ is the answer.
Our individual and corporate relationship with our Lord, our relationship with the church, the precepts of the church, our relationship with the world and the culture that surrounds us. Father John Ricardo discusses these things and more, all from the Catholic perspective, on Christ is the Answer. Listen to Christ is the Answer Wednesday evenings at 8, Saturday afternoons at 5, and Sunday mornings at 11 on 990 WDEO, 1440 WMAX, and AveMariaRadio.net on the Internet.
Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the image of the invisible God. He points us to our destiny. He reveals the dignity of the human person. He is the one who makes known the Father. Christ is the Answer.
Christ is the Answer is brought to you by the Ave Maria Communications Guild.
It's time for Family Man with Dr. Gregory Popchuk.
A colleague recently said to me, "You Catholics are all codependent." He was referring to the Catholic value of sacrificing for the good of others, and like many people, he confused codependency with what's more properly called redemptive suffering. And there's a big difference. Redemptive suffering is the pain you endure when you stand up for what's good and just. If you challenge me about an injustice I've committed, you might suffer because I'm upset with you, and I might suffer because I'm being challenged to change, but that suffering is redemptive because you're strengthening your backbone and I'm getting a chance to be a better person. But codependence is Satan's plagiarism of redemptive suffering. It's when you suffer because you don't stand up for what's good and just. If I behave unjustly and you don't challenge me because you just don't want the trouble, we'll all suffer, but that's not redemptive suffering. That's codependency, and there's nothing faithful about it. I'm Dr. Greg Popchuk, but you can call me Family Man.
To discover more ways faith can enrich your life, visit CatholicCounselors.com.
Fully Alive. Reflections on the scripture readings of today's Mass with Father Pat Egan, chaplain of Ave Maria Radio.
Sunday's first reading brings us the prophet Elijah. He found a poor widow and asked for something to eat. She shared the last of her food with him and in return received a miracle. For the Lord said, "The jar of flour shall not go empty, nor the jug of oil run dry, until the Lord sends rain and ends the famine." She trusted God and gave everything she had. Now see the same thing in the Gospel, the widow's mite. But before that, there's a warning about pride, directed to the Jewish scribes. But we need to take it to heart too. We get the same temptations. Jesus taught the crowds, "Beware of the scribes who like to go round in long robes and accept greetings and places of honour at banquets." And now we get to the main point of teaching about money or giving to charity. Very like the first reading. Jesus sat down and saw the crowd put money into the treasury. Many people put in large sums, but a poor widow also came, and she put in two small coins worth a few cents. Calling his disciples to himself, he said to them, "Amen, I say to you, this poor widow put in more than all the contributors to the treasury. for they gave from their surplus wealth, but she, from her poverty, has contributed all she had, her whole livelihood.